See the many ways God is working. Great to be gathering together for worship. And we're going to open God's Word together right now. I invite you to look on the screen for our scripture reading, and we'll launch into this today. If you want to open your own copy of the scriptures, please turn to Titus 2, beginning at verse 1. Apostle Paul is writing to Titus, and he says this, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respect, yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." How do women launch? Today's text envisions the good launch of young women. And today we're going to really zoom in on a few verses, particularly addressing the issue of women, as we consider this text about the church as a gospel-shaped launching community. And so I'm excited for us to be able to get into this today. And there in Titus chapter 2, verses 3b through 5, we see that Titus was not to teach the young women. Titus was to encourage and create a culture there in the church that the older women would teach the young women. There it is. The older women are to teach what is good. Interestingly, the root word is the same word used for Titus's teaching in verse 2. So let's not diminish the role of women in teaching in this relational manner of passing along the truth of the gospel and the implications of that for younger women. Titus wasn't to teach the young women. He was to encourage and to create a culture where the older Christian women would. And so those older women would train the young women to love their husbands and children. And this word translated train in the ESV, as some translations say teach, some translations say encourage. We'll talk more about the very aspects of that training as we work through this message. Let's look at verse 5 as well, training them in these virtues. And we'll talk about these virtues a bit more today. Now, how to apply the Christian message in the context of the Christian household. That these would be places of stability and order and relationship and hospitality for advancing the work of the gospel, for children to be nurtured in these and marriages to be strong in these. So how to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. We'll talk about some of those details today. We've been working our way through this launching into adulthood message. Series on 5:22. It may seem like a long time ago. We looked at the paradigm of the good launch of Timothy, a young man. So I thought it was appropriate that we sort of turn our attention to scriptures addressing women and young women. And maybe oftentimes women have sort of been in the position of hearing these messages about mentoring and men and young men, and they kind of have to translate it to their situation. Well, today it's kind of the other way around. I'm going to be speaking mostly to women, about women, but of course all of us can be translating these lessons because of the principles of God's Word. And some of you may be saying, Pastor Bruce, what are you doing talking to women about women, right? Well, so I got three answers to that. First is, well, it's the Word of God. So what God says, it's for all of us. And so I'm just telling you what God's Word says. And so that's my job, and that's your job to hear and respond to what God's Word says. Secondly is, in this text, notably, Titus as a man charged with spiritual leadership, and in conjunction with the elders there, we'll see that a little bit later, was charged with creating this culture for teaching women who would be teaching younger women. And the third is, I guess I got to say, ladies, I need your help. Godly older women, please help me here. Translate this. And if necessary, when it comes to application, even amend what I'm saying, okay? Pastor Bruce doesn't get it, so I'm going to tell you, honey, this is what you need. If you know that, women, please do that for me. Because we as a community need this. The young people of our church and our community and our world need this. Anybody agree with me on that? Wow, there's a huge need for training as it relates to the launch of these women. And each one is precious. Each little girl, each young teenager, each young adult, they're all precious. So let us train them in launching into adulthood. So just a little bit of background for this book of Titus. The gospel had come to Crete. It's an island in the Mediterranean. But the church there was poorly organized. So there were believers there, but the church wasn't really run that well. And Paul sends Titus as his representative. He's kind of a young leader mentored by Paul, sort of like Timothy. He sends Titus there to that church and that region to put it into order. And then to encourage Titus in that work of putting the church into order, he writes the book of Titus. And so these instructions to Titus are great principles for church order in a community that's a launching community. We're going to talk today about the church as a launching community. And we've kind of been hinting at this all along the way, that yes, of course, the home plays a vital role, and the individual has responsibilities. But the church as a launching community is the vision we see here. And we're going to talk about seven elements of the church as a launching community. Elements 4, 5, and 6 most specifically address, and we're going to talk about women in particular. The first three are sort of the setup, whether it's women or any other group. What's important for launch? So the first has to be rigorous teaching. Second is renewed thinking. All of us need this. All believers need this. And then the third is relationships. We've been talking about that. Eric was up here talking about relationships. And I'm talking about the DR. Relationships. This is because this is what the church is. Relationships shaped by the gospel under Jesus. That's a church. And we're going to talk more about that. And then we're going to talk about resource people. And particularly, I want us to kind of rename older. Whenever you say, I'm older, you got to say, no, I'm a resource person. That's what older means. If somebody's going on a trip somewhere, have you done this? You talk to somebody who's been there because they're your resource person. How can I avoid standing in lines too long? What are the sights we're seeing? What's not we're seeing, right? Well, you've lived a little bit of life. You're down the road a little bit. You're a resource person. If you're 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than someone, they need you as a resource person. We'll talk more about that. And then we'll talk about ready to receive. This is important for all of us. If we're like, oh, no, I'm not going to learn anything from anybody, well, then you're not going to learn anything. So we have to be ready to receive. And we're encouraging young women and girls and teens and young adults, hey, you need to receive. But we also model that because we're receivers, right? So we can't be just like, let me tell you, honey. We have to come alongside humbly and as ones who are receiving from the Lord ourselves, and then they'll be ready to receive. And then we're going to encourage that. And then we'll talk about reproducing values. What are those values as a church we want to reproduce? And the resulting in good works to the glory of Jesus. So this is all about how gospel community fosters good, with the emphasis on good launches for women. And I remind you, we're looking at in this series not just kids growing up, but we're looking at kids growing up spiritually. Not just young women growing up and becoming adults. We want to help them become adults spiritually. How do we do that? 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, this is the goal. That I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So let's talk first about rigorous teaching. That is biblical, gospel teaching that we need. And leaders are charged with the responsibility to provide this teaching. This is so important for all aspects of launch. And if a church doesn't have sound teaching, it's going to become flabby and molded by the culture, and launches are not going to go well. And this is what Titus is charged with. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach. In the Greek, that's command in the present tense. So it's like, this is really important, Titus. You got to keep doing this all the time. Teach what accords with sound doctrine. What's really interesting is that here in Titus chapter 2, there are instructions given for each kind of age group, each category: older women, older men, older women, younger men, and bondservants. We'll talk more about that later. With respect to each of these, Titus, of course, was to teach. Oftentimes the verb teach or encourage is not in the Greek text. Some of our English translations add that. But the implication is Titus was to teach everybody or create an environment for everybody in this instruction in sound doctrine. That idea, sound, I'd like us to consider it. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. The idea is teaching something that's comprehensively healthy in terms of the theology. It's like if you went to a doctor for a medical exam, they wouldn't just check one part of your body and say, oh, okay, you're fine. There would be a comprehensive, it would take blood pressure, heart, et cetera, the body systems, et cetera, the joints and da-da-da, et cetera. It's like, okay, if you're comprehensively healthy, that's this. This is comprehensively healthy theology. And interesting, that same responsibility is given to the elder overseer in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. They have a responsibility to teach, that is, which is consistent with sound doctrine, and to correct those who oppose it. And of course, this is then getting at the kind of teaching that's fostering, launching, and gospel-shaped relationships. And let's look, though, at Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Did you notice that as we read? It isn't just telling people stuff. It's living what you're telling them. The influencers don't just tell. They show. They model. And that's a great point for us to all think about. Like, okay, how do I get somebody to learn? Well, part of it is you show them. You model it. You live it. As you're growing in Jesus, and walk in that path of growing Jesus. Show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works in your teaching. Show integrity and dignity. And then let's look at chapter 2, verse 15. As Paul's sort of wrapping this up again, notice the emphasis here. Titus and we are not to give up. I think that's kind of the point here. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. People are like, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't like that. You know, the flesh and the world are pushing against the things of God. But he's encouraging to stay with it, man. Declare these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. There's that sense of continuing, even when it's not easy. That is the charge to Titus. And in so many ways, that's what rigorous teaching is for us as a community as well. And that's an important part of launch. It's very foundational. Well, let's look at number two, is renewed thinking. This is huge. This is really big. We all need mind renewing. We all need mind renewing in order to stay sober. Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, say yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you believe in Jesus, you need mind renewing. Say, I need mind renewing. Right? Why is that? Because we got a fleshly nature that's telling us all kinds of things that are not true, and the world is bombarding us with lies framed as truth, and we're clapping for lies framed as truth. Well, how do you stand against that? mind renewing. You need your mind renewed constantly. Let's look at this text. The older men are to be sober-minded. So it's not just those kids need to get straightened up. No, you need mind renewing. Sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. So here's what may seem to you like Greek trivia, but wow, this to me really pops. Titus uses some form of this word, sober thinking, 5 times in these 15 verses. 5 times to be sober-minded. And there's Greek verb forms and noun forms, but the idea of this is in a spiritual, moral realm, the analogy is to sober up. To sober up. There is a spiritual moral drunkenness, inebriation, that the unredeemed are in perpetually, and even the redeemed can slip into, like, oh, I'm not seeing it clearly. And you know, and what happens when you're in a physical state of drunkenness, you lack self-control and clear thinking. So when you're in a spiritual state of moving into this state of inebriation, you need to sober up. To have sober thinking, so you act wisely and act with self-control. So all that is entailed here, Paul uses a form of that word to address older women, to address younger women, and to address young men, and to address all of us. As we look at these following verses, verse 2, 4, 5, 6, and 12, we'll see some more details on those in a few minutes. Let me just tell you a couple of Bible texts where this word form shows up. One is in Mark 15:5. Remember the story there where the man was demon-possessed. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff, hurting himself, and he was a danger, whatever. And then it says when Jesus expelled the demon, the man was in his right mind. Now he could think clearly, finally. He sobered up. He could see the reality of what it really was and act in a way that made sense. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul writes, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." Yeah, I'm not the latest and greatest. I'm not perfect. I have some gifts, and God's placed me in the body. And so how do you see soberly? Like, yep, that's it. That's the right, accurate kind of way of seeing it. And, of course, it's shaped by the Word, Romans 12, 2. 2 Timothy 1, 7, this is a classic text. We all kind of, maybe when we're feeling timid, we remember God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of love and power and self-control or sound mind. That's this word. To see and think soberly and clearly. That's what the Spirit of God gives us as we know and follow Jesus. That's just some of the nuances of this word. We all need renewed thinking to stay sober. And how does this happen? You say, Pastor Bruce, how do I do this? Well, this is what's so encouraging. It tells us exactly how you do this. Look with me at Titus 2, 11 to 12. It is the gospel that sobers us up. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. What's that? Jesus came. Jesus came. Son of God incarnate, died on the cross, rose from the dead. That grace that we're saved through faith in him, that sobers us up. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us. Notice the word is training. That's training in sober thinking. To renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. So, if you want to be physically trained, you need to go to the gym. If you just say, well, I went to gym once, it's not going to do much for you, right? So it is with spiritual training in this sober thinking. We need constant reminders and reinforcement from the truth of God's word. This is then foundational for the church as a launching community. Every one of us, young, old, men and women, we're all seeking to be trained. We're embracing the truth of God and that training process in the renewed thinking that we all need all the time. Then let's look at number 3, relationships. The church is a launching community. This This is important for every church and all of us in our part in church. The church family connections foster launching and growing. The church family connections foster launching and growing. And this is what Paul is outlining here. One of our leaders, as we looked at this text, said, this looks like a blow-up version of Acts 2, right? This is the church in action. And what is it? Just coming and hearing messages and leaving as fast as I can? No, as important as the word is, the gospel-shaped community and relationships is what church is. So what's going on as you're walking in and walking out and hanging out is just as important as what's happening right here. And sadly, a lot of people have this idea the church is a sermon dispensary factory. The church is a music production, kind of venture. Or the church is a place where you get programs that you need. Well, yes, there is sermons, and yes, there is music and worship, and yes, programs are helpful. I'm so blessed that Trinity's children's ministry and youth ministry and other programs are wonderfully framed for effective ministry, but without relationships, it's not a church. Right? You can just stay home and play good sermons. Somebody's running and listen to good music. So, brothers and sisters, we have to embrace this, and this is what fosters launching. This is what's helping those kids to move forward. This is helping the teens to move forward. This is the young women to move forward. All of us to learn and grow. This men and women, families, married, single, the whole thing. This is how it happens when we're connected relationally. And here Titus is hearing from Paul the envisioning of this kind of relationship. Look at the intergenerational relationships. The older men are addressed, verse 2. The older women are addressed, verse 4. We'll talk a lot of detail about that. The younger women are addressed, and we'll dig down into that. And then the younger men are addressed, verse 6. More next week on younger men, the particular struggles younger men face, the battle for self-control. And Timothy is again, our example here, a great example. So stay tuned. I'm excited about next week, talking more about younger men. And interestingly, Paul then touches on the interclass and barrier-breaking relationships that happen in the church. This is big. Bondservants are there, and this is different from 18th and 19th century slavery. I'm not endorsing bondservants. I'm just saying it isn't exactly the same thing. I think we might do well to kind of picture this is where you're at a job where your boss isn't your favorite person. So what do you do there? Well, you live for Jesus there, okay? You figure out how to live for Jesus there. And those bondservants were being charged with that kind of right attitude, even in a difficult place here in this passage. But Paul's envisioning all of this and saying, hey, this is happening in church community, all these relationships, older, younger, men, women, even bondservants included in that mix. And yet, one of these is framed differently. Titus is kind of saying, supposed to teach, these guys, these people. And then with the younger women, Titus is not the one charged with teaching. This tells us, brothers and sisters, that mentoring for launches is a part of church community. This is one text that clearly makes that clear. Because the older women are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And we'll talk a bit more about this as they are to be resource people. Older women are resource people. And if you're older, you're somebody's resource person. And you then take that position, that history that you have that they don't yet have, and your role is to invest in the growth of those that are coming along. So you're a resource person. If you're in your 30s and 40s, well, there's people that are in their 20s. You're the resource person. If you're in your 60s and 70s, there's people in their 40s and 50s. You're the resource person. If you're a high school sophomore, you say, well, I'm not older. Well, yes, you are, because what about the new sixth grader just coming into youth group You're the resource person. So all of us are in some ways older than somebody, and we can be a resource person. Now, I believe this was probably addressed, kind of thinking of those younger women. Maybe in that context, they were teenagers moving into marriage. Not that I'm endorsing that, but that was probably common then. Today, we might say, well, these are women in their 20s or maybe even in their 30s that need that encouragement in these roles as a young adult woman. They are to, that is, the older women are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. The verb here, train the young women, is a verb that's used of teaching and training in self-control and sober thinking. You heard that one before? Yeah, it's the one we've been using. You help them to sober up and to be renewed in their thinking, to not go with the messages out there that are not biblical message about what it means to be a follower of Jesus or a young woman, but to embrace that which God says about what it means to be a follower of Jesus and a young woman. And of course, this, I believe, is probably not primarily formal. Let's get all the women together and I'm going to stand here and tell them, although it could be sometimes. This is probably primarily informal and relational, and doing so in a way where they're connecting relationally, valuing the person, understanding where they're coming from, and from that vantage point, training. And so this applies to all of us, but then we're all looking for, how can I learn and grow, and how can I help others to learn and grow? And the church is a church filled with a whole bunch of resource people to help others learn and grow. And women who are godly and further along in their life and walk definitely are a super, super valuable resource for those that are coming along. And let's talk about ready to receive. Yes, younger women need to be ready to receive. They need to be teachable. That's the implication of this text. But we all need to be teachable. We all need that spirit of, Lord, teach me, and are the people that I can learn from. And in this context here, the focus is on their learning. And so there's a readiness to receive. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. So women need this sobered up training in these things. Apparently, some days it takes training to love that husband. It doesn't just flow. Anybody married enough to know? Yeah, that's the way it is, right? Some days it takes training to love your children. It doesn't just flow, right? So, and it's not just saying, you know, I'm telling you, it's like prayerfully encouragement. Yeah, I've been there. Here's something, help me, you know, it's whatever it takes. That's the kind of training that's envisioned here. It's gospel shaped. So obviously, marriage and mothering are high values in the kingdom of God. If you don't agree with that, you're not reading the Bible. These are high values in the kingdom of God. These are really, really important things. I don't want us then to think, though, it would be incorrect to say, well, that's the only thing that women should do. And let me just remind you of some of the other godly callings for young women or women in the Bible, such as Dorcas. There in Acts chapter 9, she was making stuff like crazy and helping the poor. Or like Lydia, she was a Christian businesswoman who used her influence as a springboard for the gospel to be advanced. Or people like Priscilla. Priscilla was we need more Priscilla. She was a dynamo, together with her husband Aquila. You know this guy Apollos? He's like a guy that had a PhD from a leading university in theology. And Priscilla, godly woman with great courage, said, Apollos, hey, we need to tell you some things and straighten you out here on some things. Where did she get that? Well, it was the power and working of the Holy Spirit in Priscilla. And so we could talk about the single women in 1 Corinthians 7. We could talk about the widows in 1 Timothy 5. We could talk about Lois, a godly grandmother, and her profound influence. A lot of other wonderful godly callings for women, but marriage and mothering are certainly two of those. And let's look at the expanded list of virtues. Can we just walk through these a little bit? Titus chapter 2, verse 5. This training, besides loving their husbands and children, is a training to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God might be reviled. Let me just comment on a few of these. Purity, of course, isn't shame-based, performance-oriented, double standard that men can be impure and women are supposed to be pure, or saying sex is bad because it's a good gift. So this is grace-based, authentic growing in Jesus. Men are as responsible to be pure as women are, and sex is a good gift of God, purity. So I think, just throw out a little analogy here. Sex is like fire. And fire in the fireplace is a really good thing, right? There's warmth, there's ambiance, there's even cooking, at least there was historically, right? So man-woman covenant of marriage is the fireplace. It's good. It's a good gift of God. But anytime the fire is out of the fireplace, it's going to destroy your home. You don't put the fire in the living room, in your dining room, your kitchen, whatever. It's like it's a problem. So whether it's premarital sex, extramarital sex, polyamorous sex, homosexual, same-sex sex, pornographic sex, that's out of the fireplace. It belongs in the fireplace of the covenant of man-woman marriage. And that's what Paul is saying when he's encouraged the older women to train the young women to be pure. Keep it there. And think of it there. And foster that kind of culture. Working at home. It's working. It's not staying at home just to, that's the goal. No, the goal is effort. The Christian home in the first century culture was a center of ministry, hospitality, order, and training. So this training was to foster that kind of working for the advance of God's work in the lives of people and in his mission. And let me just say a word very briefly about that S word. When I say that word, I've sometimes had people look at me like I have three heads. Yes, the word is submissive. So just a quick response. Men, Christian men, have the double S words, sacrifice and service. So God's order is fine. It's not to be used in a way that is demeaning or undermining. It's to be used in a way that advances his work in a way that's healthy and good. And so, speaking of good, the word kind is not just, she's nice, although she is, but kind is the idea of actively doing good. That's what kindness is. It's about actively doing good. And so this is the kind of example the older women set. This is the kind of training that they encourage. This is the kind of transformation younger women walk into, is that where can I do good, whether that's in my family or outside my family, whether that's in the church community or in the mission of the church. I'm looking for those ways, as God leads me, to be actively doing good. And now we turn to talking about ready to receive. What kind of older woman does a younger woman want to receive from? So I asked a couple of younger women, Pastor Bruce's independent study. So one late teen, one late 20s, TCC, godly young women. Well, what kind of older woman would you be more likely to receive from, to learn from? So here's what we got. She's loving and kind. She doesn't look down on us. She loves Jesus. She takes an interest in my life. This is huge. You want to make an impact? Take an interest. She spends time with me. It's hard to influence if you're not spending time. So whether that's small group, whether it's outside of the church, whether that's in some kind of fellowship, or it's a, we do ministry together, we're getting inside, I'm spending time with her. Helping out in Inside Out is a great way to spend time. We're creating structured time. Helping down in children's ministry is structured time. She shows me and she's available. She comes alongside me. She embraces my children. When she loves those kids, if you love those kids, she appreciates you. You're praying for them. You're in the trenches with her as she's raising them and training them. And then one thing that's kind of interesting, she has some tangible skill. If you can sew, she may want to learn to sew. If you can cook, she may want to learn to cook. If you're good at something else, decorating or whatever it is, like she may, like, hey, you can help me. That's awesome. And we'll connect while we do that. Let me talk a little bit about ready to receive and relationships and resource people. I want to encourage us as we think about TCC's ministry, let's say VBS. You're saying, hey, Eric did a good job with the announcement, yada-da. You're thinking, yeah, somebody else can do VBS. And this is nice, Trinity has a VBS program. No, we don't have a program. We have a gospel community of relationships. And guess what? Almost every one of you, if you took the time, could be that small group leader Eric's looking for. I don't want us to think about just, hey, the people that always did this, and that's the people who do this. No. We want to create this, hey, you can be there, having an influence, loving on those kids, and reinforcing those lessons. Whatever your age, whatever your stage, maybe it's you. Because the qualification is, I'm somebody who cares. And so that's the kind of person coming alongside, looking to be a resource person, helping others who receive, whatever their age might be. Let's talk next about reproduce values. Of course, Titus and these older women were to reproduce a certain biblical values, marriage, motherhood, those things that were all there in verse 5. And I just want us to consider there may be other biblical values not on this list that young women today need. Could be a junior high girl. Could be a woman going off to college. It could be a young woman figuring out how to navigate into adulthood. It could be somebody working toward marriage or career or whatever it is. Or they're struggling with, you know, kids and, man, I don't know what to do, right? So whatever it is, there may be ways that we as a church community can reproduce other biblical values. And to help, to pray, to encourage. Let me just reflect a few of these that, you know, kind of came to my head. You can come up with others as well. Pray for these in girls and young women. We're able to invest in them to help foster these. Invest in community to be an example and one who by words, instruction, navigating adolescence while growing in Jesus. Learning healthy friendships that honor Jesus. Wise boundaries in dating and guy relationships. Serving and staying connected in church as you become a young adult. How to honor Jesus at work, how to manage your money, wise use of technology. Now, some of you have done some of these things well. Good for you. You can help others. You know what? Even if you haven't done it well, what you can do is say, hey, I realized later on that I could have done this better and I wish I brought it up. You just had an audience, that authentic, I didn't have it all together, is actually redeemed by God for you to help somebody to grow if you're willing to share. So those are the kinds of things we seek to reproduce. We pray for these. We share. And we look for opportunities God gives us wherever those may be, in church and in other settings. This is the church as a launching community. Let's talk about resulting and doing good. Gospel-shaped growth, gospel-shaped launches stir us to honor Jesus. Stir us to walk in good works. So this isn't, you know, again, some program we're kicking out. This is like God's work is fostered in the church, beyond the church, people using their gifts, all the varieties of ways God works through men and women, through younger and older. That's what Paul is having Titus envision here. Here's the opposite of that. When there are not gospel-shaped relationships, there's negative press for the gospel. How do I know that? Because Christians behaving badly, a lot of people think, you can tell me if I'm wrong, they think, man, there's something wrong with the Christian message. The problem is not the Christian message. The problem is the Christians are not taking it to heart and acting the way they should. So gospel-shaped relationships prevent this negative press for the gospel to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, that the word of God may not be reviled. And verse 8 has a similar idea. The problem isn't the message. We just need to be shaped by it. Here's the other side of it, though. Gospel-shaped relationship and launches, when it's working, when we're trusting Jesus, bring positive press for the gospel. And people say, wow, there's something to that. What you guys are talking about? There's something to that. There's something there. But showing all good faith, this is addressed to bondservant, but applies to all of us, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior. Literally, the idea is to put jewelry and a hairdo on the gospel. You think of people getting ready for a wedding. You know, ladies get their hair done. Guys, shave and at least trim their beard or whatever, right? Get a haircut, right? That's adorning. And to put on the tux and the dress and all that stuff. You don't show up at a wedding like looking, like not adorned. Well, as a Christian, you adorn the gospel. You put a haircut and jewelry on it. Wow, that gospel looks really good. The world sees that when we live that way, shaped by the gospel. Relationships and launch bring that positive press. So that's what we're all seeking. That's what God is doing in us. And I want us just to think a little bit again about, well, how do we get that? It's by looking to Jesus. Look to Jesus who redeemed us for doing good works. Look at Titus 2, verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, that's Jesus returning, the appearing of our God, of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep your focus on him. Look to him who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We've been redeemed to honor him. We've been redeemed as his possession. We've been redeemed to be eager and zealous for good works. Our lives reflect it. We're helping others toward their launch. We're serving him in a way that brings glory to his name. We're investing in the next generation, and they're looking to invest in the generations after them. How can this happen? It's by the power of the gospel as we look to Jesus, our Savior. Can we talk, just in closing, about your response to the rigorous teaching, renewed thinking, relationships, resource people ready to receive, reproduce values, and resulting in good works of this launching community? Well, the foundation is the gospel. If you haven't received the gospel, take that step today. Have you personally trusted Jesus as your God and as your Savior, waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior? He's not yours until you trust him and acknowledge that on the cross he paid everything necessary for your sins' forgiveness. He died and rose again for you, and you receive him by faith. If you haven't taken that step, take that step. And remember, that's the foundation we got to keep telling everybody, young and old, that's where it all begins. And then if you have received the gospel, I want to encourage you to pick one action today. I've been all over the map, but I'm hoping there's something today that you're like, I'm going to do that. There's a name of a person. There's an action you're going to do. There's a time you're going to do it. Can you commit, just as you're thinking and responding, like, is there something specific from this message that you're going to do? I think you're not going to do anything other than, hey, that was an okay message, unless you commit to something. Commit to something. Can we all do that? One specific step, name, person, time, event, relationship, activity that you're going to do. And then we can pray. This gospel-shaped community that's helping young women to launch is a work of God. Can you join with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to do that work in us, in those young girls, teenagers, young adult women here at TCC and even beyond? Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your grace that provided what was necessary for our redemption, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the finished work you did on the cross. And we thank you for redeeming us to be your own possession, Lord. People from all kinds of ages and stages and backgrounds, and yet, Lord, brought together in this wonderful family called the church. So, Lord, we thank you for those relationships. Help us to invest in them, be led by your Spirit in them, whether it's connecting and serving here, whether it's serving together and connecting, whether it's connections in small groups, Lord. We pray that you would build here that community that's intergenerational. Help us to see those opportunities, Lord, and walk through those doors. I pray, God, for the young girls, the teenage young women that are growing up, the young adults, Lord, that are connected here. I pray for not only those here, but those that we can impact beyond here, Lord, that the gospel may touch them and grow them, and that we would be the kind of community and the kind of people that helps in their training, that they may represent you, Lord, and live for you, and even pass along to the next generations after them, Lord, the things that you have built in them. Lord, this is your work, so we pray for your Holy Spirit to do it in us, through us, together, and all of us doing our part, Lord. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.